We thank the Lord for letting me be able to be here this morning.
Amen.
Because all we know, we got to thank God for being here this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for letting us get up this morning.
Yes.
See you in a new day.
Thank you.
Stan had talked about read about Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. But I'm going to read it too. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them.
Yes.
Because they was harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Mm. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Therefore, to send out workers into his field. All right. I want to thank everybody here for being here today. Thank God for letting me be here today.
Amen.
And thank the church for letting me this opportunity to get up and try to and teach God's word.
All
right. The subject here today has been on compassion. Stan and Henry has been addressing these subjects for the last few weeks. And this morning, I'm going to try to do my very best.
Right. Amen.
This morning, the title of my lesson is taken from that old Rolling Stone song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
No.
A feeling of deep sympathy. It's over there on the side. And sorrows for another who is struck by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to achieve and stop the suffering. All right. to my brothers and to my left and your right, the word compassion on the banner is being used as a noun. But here we see that compassion has its own personality. It is a real thing. It has character. We see that it takes up space in our heart. And when done properly, it takes on its own form. It might come through as a hope. It might show up dressed in mercy. Or it just might show itself in peace. This banner also shows us what compassion is made up of. The banner says that compassion is made up of love. The first one there. But not just any kind of love. This is agape love.
Amen.
For you see, I have no expectation for you or about you, and I am not looking for you to love me. Compassion made up of, next one is long suffering. For you see, even though I have no expectation of you ever appreciating what I am going to do to help you, I am willing to go that extra mile without grumbling or complaining about you. I will suffer through your pride of not wanting to accept my help. And I am still going to see to it that you get the help you need. All right? Compassion, next is compassion made up of goodness. Doing good to you and for you. Knowing you might not even appreciate it. I am still going to do it because I love you. And doing something in love is always God's way.
Amen.
Compassion made up of meekness. That's all of meekness. For when, and if you ever say thank you, I will say you're back. You're welcome. And that will be the end of it. Sometimes the compassion giver does not feel the need to say you're welcome. But by saying you're welcome, shows the compassion receiver that you are acknowledging that I hear you. And you matters to me. And last but not least, compassion is up of temperance. Even if anyone take you a few months. So when you call together through those heavy call together through those holy gates, because I love you. You're taking all this time. Temperance means that you got time. Good time with him. Wait for him.
Well.
Yeah. No matter what, just wait. But I think it's important for us to know here that compassion is another form of agape love. It's based upon an unconditional, deep, deep, unexplainable feeling and empathy. I feel what you feel. Come from deep inside our souls and heart. These past weeks in preparing for this lesson, verse 38 popped out at me. Okay?
Okay.
Jesus said something to answer what he said in verse 37. In verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Did you know that compassion has a personality flaw? Yes, it does. And that flaw is that because we want to help others when we do. Compassion makes us feel so good that an unexpected moment shows up. It's called self-importance. All about me. It's all about me. Self-importance makes us want to shout out to the world. Look, everybody, look what I just did. Okay, why isn't there more people doing this good work? Well, it's all about me, see? Everybody doing this good work, huh? Let's have a big meeting to sign up more people so what I did can go out and maybe we can help more people. I'm talking about myself, see? What's wrong with that? Did Jesus say, but the workers are few? All I want to do is help God out with his harvesting, his field. It's good stuff, man.
That's all right.
But did Jesus want us to take over? Was Jesus instructing us to go out and organize a recruiting drive? Was Jesus saying that it's our job to help fellow in the empty places with new workers to help with God's harvest? Remember in verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Read in verse 38, I see him having compassion on us too. But you see in verse 38, he made it possible for us to assess that personality flaw that we might fall into when we find ourselves faced with giving out the gifts of compassion to our fellow man. You see in verse 38, Jesus shows up who is in charge of handing out compassion. Jesus is teaching us who is making us feel empty for that person we have come across in need of help. For you see in verse 38, Jesus said, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. The next time you find yourself handing out the gifts of compassion, ask yourself three questions. First one, who's in charge? Second, whose field needs to be harvested? And third, who is going to send the workers out? The answer to all three of those questions is God.
It's God. Amen. That's all right.
Remember the word meekness. That's one of the words used to describe compassion. In this verse, that is what Jesus is telling us to do. We are to become meek, having or showing a quiet and gentle nature, willing to let someone else take the lead without resentment. That's how we get over that personality flaw of self-importance. All about me. Meekness get us over the how the world want us to react when we do something for someone else. Meekness help us to remember that doing something good isn't about how it's going to make us look. Doing good isn't about how it make us feel when we do it. And doing good is in no way has anything to do with us. It's about working in our Father's field and helping him to bring in the harvest. So let's go back to my title for this lesson. I can't get no satisfaction. And what does this old Rolling Stone song have to do with compassion? The very fact that the song makes it a point of making the receiver and the giver the main point of receiving satisfaction. Did you know that satisfaction isn't even a part of compassion? Have you ever noticed that most of the time, even though you might be the one receiving the, giving the gift of compassion, it never feels like you got a gave enough, okay? So let's look at verse 38 once more. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Have you ever thought that when you were presented with a need to show compassion, that you did not just happen to find yourself in that situation? Did you ever look at, according to what Jesus said, ask him to send more workers into his field? Let's understand one thing right now. You didn't just happen to run upon his situation on your own. No, God put you there. Okay. It was God who sent you into that field. Let's look at Luke 10, verses 25 to 33. Luke 10, verses 25 to 33. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The 26th, "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" 27th, he answered, "Love you, the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 28, "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Verse 29, "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor?" Verse 30, "In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he fell up into the hands of a rock, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." Verse 31, "A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side." Yeah. On verse 32, "So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed it by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as traveling, came there, the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." All right. Have you ever stopped to think that these people, from the bandit to the victim, from the passerby to the Samaritan, just happened to be in the wrong place at the right time? I say no. God put them all there. Even though this was just a story Jesus used to instruct the good lawyers, this can be a real life situation in a huge very day. God is the one who is putting us there to handle the situation at hand, from giving a ride to a senior who needs to go to the store, seeing the man on the corner, giving him a dollar. God placed you there, okay? In conclusion, we are not put in these situations of giving compassion in order to be satisfied. We are there to be about God's business.
Amen.
Jesus never did. Even as a child, he told Mary and Joseph, "Do you not know that I am about my Father's business?"
Yeah.
Let's be about our Father's business and become a servant. Bring about compassion the way our Father wanted it, and letting our ego, self-importance, get in the way. Got to put that back. As a custom here at the Apple Valley Church of Christ, we always offer the plan of salvation. Those of you who are not yet a member of the Lord's church. Why? Because we have compassion on you. For you see, we are all means to walk through those heavy gates, those heavenly gates together. That's another field God has. And it is my job to instruct you to his plan of salvation so you can be a part of that harvest. First, you must hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus was born and how he died and was buried and when he rose from the dead. Romans 10, 17. Once you have heard the good news, then you must believe it. Mark 16, 15 to 16. Then you must repent of your sin. Luke 13, 3 to 5. The next step, to confess his name. Confess that, believing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Matthew 10, 32 to 33. Then you must be baptized. You must go down into the water grave of baptism. First Peter 3, 21. And last, you must live faithfully. Revelation 2 and 10. If you are a member and need to ask for forgiveness or prayer, now is the time to stand and make your request known. Why? Because God has compassion on you, and we do too. Because of the compassion, when it's time for him to harvest his field, we will be able to go hand in hand together into the Father's house. Let us all stand.